Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Welcome back. Home stretch here on Silver and Black today, an Odyssey original podcast talking all things Las Vegas Raiders football. And Mo, no person more than this guy is getting the ire of Raider Nation off the charts than head coach Josh McDaniels. We've talked about his performance throughout the show, but we need to visit this early, and we'll get into more specifics as we do our yearly breakdown by position, offense, defense, all that stuff in the coming weeks. But you look at Josh McDaniels coming in, came in a lot, and this is where I've come a little bit full circle. And again, we're not going to get into the whole Derek Carr thing because I'm just frankly tired of it and he's gone. But I will tell you this, Josh McDaniels said a lot of things when he got to Las Vegas, one of which was about how great Derek Carr was and he wanted him and blah, 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 blah. There were a lot of things Josh McDaniels said that didn't seem to come true or didn't seem that he followed through on. You add in the inability to make adjustments that we saw, which led to an NFL leading 5 second half collapses or lead blown leads big of more than what, 13 points. It was pretty, I mean, if it wasn't for Nathaniel Hackett in Denver, Josh McDaniels, the national media might have paid more attention to it because the performance overall, as I have said for numerous weeks now, my friend, to me, it was coaching malpractice. He often did all of the wrong things at the wrong time.
I brought this up on previous shows. It took him a month to feed Josh Jacobs the football. Think about that. And Josh Jacobs still won the rushing title. Can you imagine if he had fed Josh Jacobs in the first month of the season? Yeah. I said this too. Davante Adams, there are 7-8 games where he's had 5 or fewer catches. That's inexcusable for the best wide receiver in the league. And Davante Adams still captured the franchise record in receiving yards. Can you imagine if he had more consistency in his catches, what his numbers would have looked like? Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams would have had astronomical numbers. But to me, there were stretches in the season where McDaniels just didn't use his talent to the best of their ability. Now, the other thing you mentioned, the blown leads, part of that is on players executing or not executing on the field. Sure. And part of that is the head coach. You got to be able to manage a 3-possession lead. Yeah. If you're a competent head coach, you should be able to manage a lead like that because teams aren't blowing big leads like that with consistency. The Raiders have the record and blown second half double-digit leads. The record. So it's one thing to do it once or twice. It's another thing to do it 5 times. So there's a lot that goes on Josh McDaniels' plate, and I'm sure he understands that. But that's the concerning part for me, is that is he ever going to turn it around, or is just who he is as a head coach just not a very good head coach? And you talked about it. If Nathaniel Hackett wasn't fired as bad as he was as a head coach, we were probably paying, well, not we, but the national media were probably paying more attention to Josh McDaniels. Brandon Staley isn't exactly a trustworthy head coach either. This dude played his starters in a meaningless regular season game, got Mike Williams hurt, got Kenneth Murray hurt, got Joey Bosa hurt, in a game that meant nothing to our playoff implications. So this is what I mean when I say Andy Reid and the Chiefs are going to have an advantage over the entire AFC West until the coaching gets better for all the other teams, because Andy Reid is just on another level. And I know we're on a Raiders show, and I'm not going to talk too much about the Chiefs and what Andy Reid is doing, but you got to close the gap when it comes to the roster personnel and coaching. Because if you don't close the gap with coaching, it's not going to get any better for any of the teams in AFC West besides the Chiefs.
Well, and you saw this coaching inadequacy, or I should say the gap between the coaching of both teams too, on the game on Saturday, right? I mean, it was evident. You could see it at times. It's like it was like a national chess champion playing a 12-year-old who won the school competition, right? And you could see it. You could see it. And I'm not trying to make fun of Josh McDaniels. I'm just saying it is what it is, okay? And so you look at that and you think to yourself, boy, is there anywhere that I can see Josh McDaniels improved? And that's a tough question, because I thought at times I thought he was improving, and then we saw regression. And so I'm having a struggle, and I'm not out here saying fire the guy, because he's clearly not going to get fired. But I'm struggling, Mo, to find where he improved.
This is where I'm with Raider fans when they're not too enthusiastic about the offseason, because if your head coach is making boneheaded moves and play calls, it is not going to matter who you have in there, because they're gonna have a low ceiling because of the coaching staff. And we went through this when Reggie McKenzie and Del Rio were in charge. Reggie McKenzie was the GM. Del Rio was the head coach and his staff. There were times when Reggie McKenzie's guys who he drafted went on to other teams and flourished. So that tells you that some of Reggie McKenzie's guys weren't that bad. It's just the coaching staff didn't put them in positions to succeed. And I'm afraid that even if Ziegler does a good job, it comes down to, does Josh McDaniels use them to their best ability? Does Patrick Graham put these guys in positions to succeed? Because other than Amik Robertson, who improved under Patrick Graham? We named Nate Hobbs regression. We named Trayvon Merrick regression. Other than Amik Robertson, who looked better from the previous year this year under Patrick Graham? To me, that's another red flag. And I will tell you one thing before you go, Scott. Josh McDaniels was asked about the coaching staff and will there be any changes in the offseason. He was kind of noncommittal about it. He said, basically, he said, we're going to reevaluate everything. And I was of the belief that Patrick Graham would be back, because let's be honest, if you look up and down the Raiders roster at the end of the season, not a lot of starting guys that would be starters on other teams either.
Yeah.
So I will say that now I'm like, is Patrick Graham going to be back? Now it's more of a question. But I will say this, if they don't replace Patrick Graham, and they draft guys for his scheme, and then they let him go because he underperforms in 2023, then you're back at the same cycle, because you have to draft guys for the next coordinator. So to me, it's either you stick with Patrick Graham and ride it out, or you let him go now, because if not, you're going to be stuck in the same cycle over and over again.
Yeah, and Mo, let's face it. This is the way the world works. It's not just in sports, but when crap goes bad, okay, when the crap hits the fan, I'm keeping it family friendly. When the crap hits the fan, somebody's taking the blame. Okay? Somebody's taking the blame. So when it comes to the offensive play, the quarterback took some of the blame. Not all the blame, but some of the blame. That's why they're moving on from him. Okay? He wasn't playing up to what they wanted to see. When it comes to the coaching wasn't what it... Now, it begins and ends with Josh McDaniels, there's no question. But Josh McDaniels isn't going to go anywhere. And if he's not going to go anywhere, something's got to change, because Dave Ziegler, look, everybody, the pound of flesh has to happen. So, yeah, maybe it's a defensive back coach, or it's a linebacker coach, even though they had no talent there, or it's the offensive line. I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody's going to take the fall. It always happens that way, especially in sports, right, where it's so volatile. And I, you know, listen, If they weren't so close, I would go. It might not happen on Black Monday like it was yesterday, but I would not have been surprised if the Raiders moved on from Josh McDaniels had it not been for the closeness of those two, because you have all cause to think that it's not working.
Scott, 5 blown double-digit
leagues. Exactly.
Who else? No one else has done that.
Not only that, but your quarterback regressed. Let's call it. No, listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
The card defenders are right about that. He regressed. He got better under Gruden. Probably the best he was going to be. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he regressed. And everyone, I mean, even Colton Miller regressed, or he had a little bit of a down year. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. So you look at this and you see that you're right from a coaching perspective. Now, the offensive line, I shouldn't have mentioned the offensive line coach getting fired, because I think with what he had, he did well. I mean, they got better at times. They overachieved. And so that you have to say, hey, kudos to the coach. Okay. But outside of that, and Max Crosby is his own coach, so he doesn't need a coach. But everybody else, you're right. It's a great question. And I think, I just wonder, yeah, I just think it's going to be a really short leash for Josh McDaniels this year. And I would love to be in the evaluation between Ziegler and McDaniels. And again, I think he needs a veteran coach beside him to help him with game management.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wasn't Rob Ryan on the staff this year? I believe
yes.
He was.
Yeah.
There could be a situation where the Raiders have a good draft where you could see the talent.
Yeah.
And let's say the Raiders blow another 5 double-digit second half leads. He has to fire Ziegler has to fire his buddy.
Yeah.
To save his butt, because I would assume that Mark Davis would come to him and say, look, it's either
it's done.
Daniels goes or both of you go. and I think that's when the decision comes down. But it goes to my point that I just, as excited as I am about the offseason and the Raiders having a full draft class, assuming they don't trade their top picks, and having $35 million in cap space and probably soon to be about $65 million once they trade Carr, there's still that question is, can Josh McDaniels cook the groceries and provide a good meal? Because again, if he doesn't, then even though you can see the talent in certain young players, you can see they could be a lot better. And if you have that thought in your head that, yeah, this player is good, but he could be a lot better, then you're thinking about replacing your head coach. Because that's what we say about Justin Herbert. A lot of people saying Justin Herbert could be a lot better if he had a different head coach. And Brandon Staley is weighing that team down. And I think we can have the same conversation about Josh McDaniels as far as the entire roster is concerned on the offensive side of the ball. Is he the offensive guru that many thought he was coming in? Because regardless of what happened in Indianapolis, he was a hot commodity as the head coaching candidate. His name was popping up all over the place, and he felt like the Raiders was the spot where he can kind of change the narrative about what happened in Denver. And it's just it's just not happening right now. It looks pretty much the same as what happened in Denver.
And Mo, let's go into imagination zone for a minute here. Because, okay. But possible, which is, imagine Sean Payton, coach Brandon Staley goes with Chargers. They lose to the Jags, okay, in the first round of the playoffs. Brandon Staley gets fired, because I think he deserves to be fired if he does that, number one. Even if he wins a game, I still think he could get fired. But nonetheless, he gets fired. Sean Payton, who's living in Los Angeles, gets convinced to go coach the Chargers, because you got the quarterback, you got the running back, pretty good team, okay? Then the Denver Broncos go get Jim Harbaugh. Then suddenly, you got the only JV coach in the division. I mean, am I exaggerating when I say that?
No, because the one coach has won a Super Bowl, the other one has gone to Super Bowl and won a whole lot in the NFL. So, even if those two guys don't join the division, I just think that Josh McDaniels' leash is so short that if he doesn't show anything within the first quarter of the next season, I would think that Dave Ziegler and Mark Davis are having a conversation like, okay, this doesn't turn around soon. We're ready to move on quick. And it's sad they say that, because then you're probably looking at a rebuild, and that's tiring to talk about. And I don't want to talk about that right now.
Yeah.
But I just all of my concern right now is, what type of head coach is Josh McDaniels? Is he going to improve? Is he going to show any improvement? Because if these players, because numerous players have come out, former players, I think Tiki Barber has, Tiki or Rondé, because they're twins.
Yeah.
One of them said, one of them had a bit that said, Josh McDaniels is not a head coach. He's an offensive coordinator. Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver, has been vocal about
this. Very vocal.
And time and effort. He said, not a head coach, play caller, but not a head coach. And I think people overlook the fact that a head coach and offensive coordinator, two very different positions. It's one thing to call the offense, and Josh McDaniels has had his gaffes there. It's another thing to be a leader of men.
Yep.
And when you're not that CEO type, it's not going to work out. And I hate to judge him based on his talk at the podium. But when you look at Josh McDaniels at the podium and you listen to him talk, does that sound like a CEO type?
No.
A guy who's going to command respect in the locker room from 53 plus guys? I just don't get that feeling from him.
Right. And that's what I think too. I mean, listen, you hear him speak. There's, I'm not saying you have to be the best speaker, but and I know he's been doing it a lot longer, but you look at how Gruden was when he spoke to the media. You look at a guy like Mike Tomlin, who in some ways should be coach of the year because that Steelers team was no good, and he got them within one win of a winning record, okay, which is pretty remarkable. And you look at some of these other coaches, and even young coaches. Look at McDaniel down in Miami. That guy commands the room. I mean, he gets a little wild at times and gets a little esoteric, but other than that, the guy commands the room. And so I think you're right. And that's where the big question mark is. And I got to believe that part of the coaching staff here with Josh McDaniels, Mo, that if I was Dave Ziegler, I would say, okay, listen, I don't know if it's the defense or what it is, but if I'm him, I'm looking for the guy, the just in case guy, meaning that you need to bring on a more experienced coach to help you coach. But then if I got to fire your ass after four or five games, I need somebody I know who can run the team. Because right now the coaching staff, I mean, maybe Rex Ryan, I don't know, he's a little wild card, but who else on that team could be even an interim head coach, right? It would be a disaster. So it'd be a disaster if you're firing a coach after four or five games anyway. But nonetheless, I think there just needs to be some maturity, stability, and somebody, like you said, who can run the room, can be the CEO, even if he's not. But it is a long-term problem. And the Raiders are going to learn really quick. And if he's not the guy, then it could set the franchise back three or four years again.
Here's one thing that's also scary to me. The Raiders have a very inexperienced trio as far as head coach and coordinators are concerned. Mick mm-hmm. Lombardi, young coordinator. Patrick Graham, not a lot of experience, believe it or not. I believe he's only had 4 years as a D coordinator, and three of those years haven't been good. And then you got Josh McDaniels, who had a short stay in Denver and didn't look good in his first year with the Raiders. So who is the guy that's going to, as you say, kind of have on your shoulder to make some of the executive decisions with the experience? Because if you look at the Giants, right, and I say the Giants because I watch a lot of Giants games because of my proximity to the team, but Brian Daboll has Don Wink Martindale. And I know Don Wink Martindale has never been a head coach, but he has tons of years of experience. Tons of experience. I mean, Daboll himself has a lot of experience too, but mm-hmm. Wink has been around and he's an older head coach. He's an older coach, I should say. That means something, you know? So
sure.
with the Raiders' young staff, with so much inexperience there, when things are falling apart, no wonder they couldn't recover when things started to go downhill a lot of times. No wonder they blew so many leads. Like, who's the experienced guy on that staff that can pull things together when things are not going right from a coaching standpoint? I know you depend on your players to do it on the field, but your coaches also have to play a part in it.
Yeah, and I think that's why you will see some change. I don't know what it's going to be, who it's going to be, but I think there has to be. And I'm sure we'll know here pretty quickly, even maybe by our next show on Thursday. You never know. That's going to close out the show, though, Mo. We're done for the day. And we certainly appreciate everybody being with us, and we're going to have a really busy off season, obviously, with all these issues we talked about. We're going to deep dive on some of them as we move along in the next few weeks. And then as we hit the end of the NFL playoffs, the Super Bowl, then we're going to focus on the draft. There's going to be a lot of draft analysis here on the show. We'll take a look at who the Raiders might be targeting. And then we'll also learn, obviously, within 3 days after the Super Bowl, if the Raiders were able to trade Derek Carr and what they got for him. So that'll give us a full picture of what their draft capital looks like. So we'll do that. In the interim, we'll keep a track and an eye of all things Las Vegas Raiders and what's happening with the staff, with personnel, as they all break away for the offseason. All right, Mo, we will catch up with you again on Thursday, my friend.
I thought this would be a little more of a painful show, being that we're wrapping up the 2022 season, but it wasn't as painful as I thought it was. So,
like you said, it was disastrous. You could talk about why it was, which I think we touched on, and we're going to get into some, like you said, the positions and stuff like that later on. Some of the talent that's on the roster and those holes that need to be filled, we'll identify them specifically, and talk about who's going to be back and who won't be back. But overall, it's easier actually when it goes like this. If you're a 500 team or you just missed the playoffs by one game, then maybe you're starting to talk a little more about what happened, what could have gone this way, what would have went this way, and that makes a big difference. Here in this case, the Raiders just didn't ever really get to the point where they were a serious contender. All right, Mo, I'll talk to you on Thursday, buddy.
All right, speak to you soon.
All right, for Mo Moten and for our producer, David Stepanian, I am Scott Gilbranson. This has been Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey Original Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Also, Sunday mornings, even during the offseason, you can catch us in Las Vegas over the airwaves on 98.5 The Fan and, of course, 1140 The Bet, both Odyssey sports stations in the Las Vegas market. Until Thursday, take care, Raider Nation, and we'll talk to you then.